website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Argyle at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. It's always my pleasure and honor to sit in for Dr. Youngblood. And this is the second time this week that I have sat in for Dr. Youngblood. He's taking care of some family issues, and we're all praying that that goes well, as we know it will. For those of you who are unfamiliar, I reside in Pensacola, Florida. I'm a small business owner. I own an insurance and financial services agency. Been doing that for about 33 years now. Before that, I served 10 years active duty as an Air Force officer after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. I also served in politics. I was a member of the Florida State House, serving terms from 2013 until 2020. So now I'm a recovering politician and spending full time in my insurance and financial services agency. Have a lot of topics would like to discuss with you today. If you would like to call in and join a discussion with either your comment or if you have a question, that call-in number is 904-831-0917. Again, 904-831-0917. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. They can be reached online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Today, let's look at some of the headlines that are going on. A lot of things are happening around us. We're just living in tumultuous times. And it seems that every time you look at the news or read a headline, it is something else that is outrageous that is happening. But please note, ladies and gentlemen, that has always been the case. I mean, you go back the past 100 years, the past 250 years here in the United States, or even go back 1,000 years. Each day is always filled with some sort of calamity somewhere in somebody's life. That's just life. But we as a society, as a community, we must determine how we are going to react to these events that take place. We have here, United States, when this nation was formed, we decided we were going to govern ourselves, how we were going to react according to our Constitution, the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. That's how we decided we were going to react to what is happening around us in the world. And I'm sure that so many of you who listen to this show, because I know Dr. Youngblood talks about it frequently, are familiar with our Constitution. But I just want to share with you again the preamble, just so you can recognize this is our agreement of how we said we are going to govern ourselves and how we are going to react to events around the world and here in the United States. That preamble to the Constitution of the United States of America says this: we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. Now, note the goal doesn't say that we are perfect. It says in order to form a more perfect union. More perfect than what? Than what they were experiencing before, particularly coming from the tyranny of Great Britain and King George. They said, we can do better than that. And the founding fathers studied governments that had previously existed, including in Rome and Athens and in Europe. And what they determined was, number one, they did not want a democracy. Democracy was the worst form of government that they came across and did not want one. So whenever you hear someone on the news talk about United States being a democracy, turn the channel right away, because you know you're listening to an idiot who doesn't know what they're talking about. The United States is not a democracy. We are a republic. And just to make it clear what the difference is between a democracy and a republic. A democracy says that majority rules, that whenever 50% plus one makes a decision, then that is going to be the decision. That's democracy. A republic, on the other hand, says majority rules as long as it is within the constraints of the rule of law. You see, that's completely different from a democracy. In other words, the majority can rule, but it must be within the confines of the rule of law. You just can't do whatever you want because the majority wants that. No, it has to be what within the confines of what the law says. And that's what our Constitution is, the ultimate authority of the rule of law in the United States of America. So as we continue, we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain. Note that word, ordain. When something is ordained or there's an ordination, it usually means that the church is involved. We're talking about Christian church. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Amen. Agree with that 100%. And as an Air Force officer and also as an elected official, I said a solemn oath that I do solemnly swear to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And those oaths are very similar, but they are different to varying degrees, but they all end with, so help me God. Now, too many who say that oath just think it is some perfunctory gesture that they are doing in order to either receive their promotion or to occupy the seat of which they've been elected to. But if they understood what they were doing, the significance of it, it means so much more than just some gesture to take your seat or to occupy the position you're being promoted to. No, when you say that oath, it's not just between you and the official administering the oath, and it's not just between you and the people who you are swearing that you are going to protect and defend. They are all included. But that oath is between you and the living God, and you should recognize that. You are promising God that you are going to support, protect, and defend this Constitution, how we are going to govern ourselves. And when you look at it in that sense, you recognize that it is an act of worship. Noah Webster called it an act of worship. It is more than just putting your hand on the Bible and raising your right hand and saying a few words. It is very important and it is very solemn. And that's why you end it with, "So help me God." You're asking God to help you to fulfill that oath of office of which you are taking. So it is very important that when you take that oath that you mean it. And as an elected official, you should not vote for any piece of legislation, either for or against, if it is going against your oath of office, if it is going against our Constitution. So all of that was just a introductory comments as we get to the events that are happening around us today. And how should we as Christians react to these events? It is because we should look at it all in light of what does the rule of law say? Now, here's something that's pretty interesting. Iran, get this, of all nations, has been selected to chair the UN Human Rights Forum. That sounds like almost like a Babylon Bee title or headline. Iran, of all nations, all the nations around the world, they selected Iran to chair the UN Human Rights Forum. They would be better suited to chair the Inhuman Rights Forum, but they were chosen to chair the Human Rights Forum. Here's a headline out of Newsmax. An international protest campaign has erupted over Iran being selected to chair the UN Human Rights Forum despite its history of oppression, torture, and executions. Exactly. There should be protest campaigns all over the place, and particularly from the United States of America, is where we should be protesting Iran being selected as chair of the Human Rights Forum. The forum comes at a time when Iran has shown support for Palestinian terrorist organizations, Hamas, which conducted a sneak attack on Israel on October 7th. More than 1,400 Israelis have died since that day, and more than 200 hostages were taken to Gaza. Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen in recent days have declared war on Israel. Yeah, right. We'll see how that. You don't even have an army, Yemen. How on earth are you going to declare war on Israel? It is utter insanity to the point where they are going to select Iran to be the chair of the Human Rights Forum for the United Nations. I see we have a caller on the line. Kenneth, what is your question or comment?
Yes, please? You are so right, and it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It's not I call it a puppet job. I don't call it a president. But he put this in place by his puppeteers that's helping him to eliminate some of the world, especially the United States. I think George Soros, everybody, Obama, Clinton, everybody, they want to see America destroyed.
That's
and
right.
That is just ridiculous. You made your billions of dollars over here, and you're going to try to see this country that helped you. And I think George Soros, he's a Jew. And
right.
He hates his own people. And he really does. And they're trying to destroy America. It is sad to see. It really is.
Yes, I agree. And Pastor Davis, it's good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for your comment.
You know, and I think that we're going to be, in my opinion, we're being judged. Because if God doesn't do anything, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah, and God is not going to do that.
That's right. That's right. What do you think about the Islamic Republic of Iran being appointed today chair of the UN Human Rights Council Social Forum? Hello, Kenneth, are you still there? Looks like that's okay. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. And again, if you would like to join the conversation, or if you have any questions or comments, that number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Now, and just to add irony to this, that the Islamic Republic of Iran was today appointed chair of the UN Human Rights Council, just to add irony to it, this year's theme of the Council of the Human Rights Council for Social Forum, this year's theme is technology and promotion of human rights. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? And Iran just hanged Youssef Murad and Sadrullah Zaire for using social media to criticize religion. So I'm sure it was because they were criticizing Islam or the Muslim religion. And to them, that's a capital offense. There's no freedom of speech in those Muslim nations. You cannot criticize you cannot criticize the fake prophet Muhammad. You cannot criticize the demon god of the crescent moon, Allah. If you do that, you can be killed for it. And here is a nation that will kill someone simply for saying something. They will stone to death a woman if she doesn't cover her whole body before she leaves the house, and especially if she leaves by herself. She has to have a man with her. That's how barbaric and backwards these countries are. They will stone a woman to death for that. And this nation who has made this their theocracy, their religion, this religion of hate and evil, and they've been selected as the chair of the UN Human Rights Council Social Forum. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just another reason why we need to get the United States out of the United Nations and get the United Nations out of the United States. Move them out of New York. Go to Europe, wherever you want to go, but get out of the United States, and we are going to stop funding you with these taxpayer dollars. We're going to stop funding everything that you're doing, including this recent slap in the face, this nonsense of Iran being selected chair of the UN Human Rights Council Social Forum. It's time for Congress to stand up. It's time for our president to stand up. I'm not talking about Biden. He's a sight to behold. You know, it really is a shame that they are propping up this person who is clearly suffering from an illness, suffering from dementia, Alzheimer's. It's clear to anyone who sees what's going on, and they are continuing this elder abuse by propping him up, trotting him out, before the public on every other day or so after he finishes his naps. And then I'm not talking about that president needs to get us out of the United Nations. Joe Biden can barely get out of his own car, out of his own house. I'm talking about how President Trump, when he was in, considered the idea, and he needs to pursue that once he gets elected in 2024. We need to go ahead and get out of the United Nations and get the United Nations out of the United States. Here's another topic. Vice President Kamala Harris announces strategy to counter Islamophobia. That's not a joke, folks. Again, this looks like this should be a headline for Babylon Bee. Kamala Harris, is this a joke? This comes from the Daily Wire. Vice President Kamala Harris went public on Wednesday with the Biden administration's newest project, a national strategy to counter Islamophobia. In the wake of increasing and escalating anti-Semitic threats and attacks in the United States and worldwide. In other words, ever since those barbarians, Muslim militants out of Gaza attacked Israel, a sneak attack, and murdered all those people. Ever since then, there have been a rise in anti-Semitism, anti-Semitic attacks against Jewish people around the world. Unbelievable. Here is Israel going about their daily business. All of a sudden, they are attacked. And now people are attacking the Jews from all quarters. And what is this president's, Biden regime's response? We need to start a national strategy to counter Islamophobia. First of all, there's no such thing as Islamophobia. That's so goofy how the left has come up with these terms. Islamophobia essentially means that you're afraid of Islam. Nobody's afraid of it. We just don't want it. The same thing with homophobia. Nobody's afraid of homosexuals. We just don't want it shoved down our throats. That's all. There's no such thing as xenophobia, saying that we're afraid of immigrants coming here. No, we just want them to come here legally. So that this whole idea of the left, these woke terms of phobia that they add on to the end of legitimate words, makes that word illegitimate. So, but at any rate, that's just another example of how nonsensical this administration is. As Jewish students are being targeted and attacked on college campuses across the nation by left-wing radicals, here is Kamala Harris launching a strategy to counter Islamophobia as Jewish students are being attacked. Why don't you come up with a strategy to stop anti-Semitism? But instead, Kamala Harris launches a strategy to counter Islamophobia. That's remarkable. Kamala, who has done practically nothing for 2 years, says the White House has seen an uptick in anti-Muslim attacks. Really? Where? Show me where you were seeing this, Kamala. Show me where you're seeing this, Joe Biden. This regime is an entire joke. Here's an interesting title. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood. If you would like to join in with a question or comment, the number is 904-831-0917. The Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, have released an intercepted call that sheds light on how Hamas, get this, is stealing fuel from hospitals in Gaza, a revelation that underscores the group's exploitation of humanitarian resources in the region. So get this, ladies and gentlemen. Here we have those in Congress, those on the left, the Democrats, the fascists, that fascist squad, as they call themselves, who are demanding that the U.S. use their taxpayer dollars to provide humanitarian aid to those who have been left in Gaza. The Israeli Defense Forces have told people who are in Gaza, get out of Gaza, leave, get out, just come, and we will allow you to get out, leave. Why? Because we are going to come in and destroy Hamas. We're going to destroy this group of terrorist scum. And I agree with Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli Defense Forces 100%. They need to go in there and rid Gaza of this evil that is there in their midst. Okay, so Israel is allowing, because they closed the border off, and Israel is allowing humanitarian aid to go in, fuel for hospitals, and to provide water and food, relief for some of the people who are in there. Because, why? Because Hamas won't let them leave. They want to use these civilians, these non-combatants, as human shields. They know that as long as they surround themselves with women and children, that Israel just might not bomb them, might not attack them, may not go in with their forces to get rid of them. But as Benjamin Netanyahu has said, and I agree with him, we are going to, as much as possible, avoid having injuries inflicted upon non-combatants. But we are at war, and we are going to go in there and do what we need to do. Netanyahu said, we did not start this war, but we are going to end it once and for all. And I agree with him 100%. So here is evidence. The Israeli Defense Forces have released evidence of where fuel was sent into hospitals in Gaza, and Hamas has taken this fuel. Instead of letting it go to the hospital, they are trying to use it for their forces. So here was a director of an Indonesian hospital. A call was made to the director of the Indonesian hospital there in Gaza, made by a Hamas battalion commander. And it was intercepted by the Israeli military intelligence. And despite the sensitivity of the information, it has been declassified to reveal Hamas's prioritization of its own terrorist needs over those of the civilian population in Gaza. In the intercepted phone call, the Hamas commander repeatedly hints at the group taking fuel from the hospital's stock, justifying it by stating they are working as a government for the sake of the country. Hamas is not working as a government for the sake of the country. They are working as an outlaw terrorist regime that is terrorizing not only their nation, but those around. They will not allow the non-combatants to leave. And get this, ladies and gentlemen, the predominantly Muslim and Arab nations surrounding Israel, including Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, will not take the refugees who want to leave Gaza. They will not allow them into their nation. Israel was allowing them because they had an open border there at Gaza. They were coming and going to work in Israel. And now Hamas has caused this issue. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. We'll continue after the top of the hour.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Hundreds left yesterday. We may see more of the same today. Foreign nationals, including some Americans, as well as injured Palestinians, allowed to escape war-torn Gaza via the Rafah border crossing into Egypt. The crossing reopened once again. Israel's offensive in the Gaza Strip continues, with Israeli troops rapidly advancing on the terrorist hotbed of Gaza City. While Israel has been facing some pressure to pause the military campaign against the terrorists in Gaza, Senator Lindsey Graham says that no amount of civilian casualties would dissuade him from supporting Israel in its war on Hamas. Colorado, not the only state where there's an attempt to keep former President Trump off of next year's ballot. A similar effort has been launched in Minnesota. Stocks futures sharply higher ahead of this morning's Wall Street opening bell. More details, srnnews.com.
Do you have earned college credits but no diploma? Would you like to finish your certified degree program? Conservative Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE to schedule your interview appointment. Please leave your contact information for the admission staff to reach out to you. Today's the day. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. It's always an honor and a pleasure for me to sit in for Dr. Youngblood. For those of you who don't know me, I reside in Pensacola, Florida. I own an insurance and financial services agency, have been running this small business for 33 years now. Before that, served 10 years active duty Air Force, in the Air Force as an officer after graduating from the Air Force Academy. I also served as a member of the Florida State House, serving terms from 2013 until 2020. If you would like to join the show today, and I would encourage you to do so, please call in at 904-831-0917 with your comment or question. Here's another headline that's pretty interesting. Homeschooling rates rise as faith in public education erodes. And I'm going to add here right now, ladies and gentlemen, that parents, if you are able to, get your children out of government schools. They're not even public schools anymore. They are government-run schools. Get your children out of those schools. You should homeschool, private school, charter school, anything to get them out of the clutches of the teachers' unions and the demonic people who are running government schools right now. Now, not all teachers in public schools are cruel and are hurting our students, but too many are. And we see the results. We have poured billions and billions of dollars into public schools, and what have been the results? We see declining rates in graduation. We see declining rates in achievement scores. We see declining rates in college admission scores, to the point where, I think it was Oregon, where they said they are no longer going to require students there to be proficient in math, reading, or science in order to graduate. What a disaster. Get your children out of these government schools. So a number of parents are doing that. Homeschooling has become, by a wide margin, America's fastest growing form of education. I say amen. As families from Upper Manhattan to Eastern Kentucky to the Florida Panhandle and throughout Florida embrace a largely unregulated practice, and by the way, it should stay that way. We do not need government clutches in the getting involved with education, with private education, once confined to the ideological fringe. In other words, this movement at one time was being considered on the fringe, on the outskirts, but it's becoming a lot more mainstream. We're talking about homeschooling. The growth demonstrates homeschooling's arrival as a mainstay of the American educational system. Thank goodness. With this impact on society, on public schools, and above all, on hundreds of thousands of children now learning outside a conventional academic setting. It's only beginning to be felt. And there are, don't believe the idea that you're not qualified to homeschool your student, because you are. You are qualified to do it. And it was done for hundreds of years before the public school system, the government-run system, even started in the United States. You can homeschool your children. And there are so many different avenues for getting curricula for doing that. Right here in Pensacola, we have Pensacola Christian Academy and their Abeka homeschool system. It's outstanding, has been rated highest in the nation. We also have Hillsdale College, which puts out an excellent homeschool curriculum and system. And there are many others out there. They will help you homeschool your children. And then there are groups in the area where you want to homeschool your children who will get together with you, where you have meetings, where you can do field trips, sports, gatherings, and so forth. You can homeschool your child. The article goes on to say, public schools have declined in enrollment by 4% in recent years, and private schools have seen their enrollment increase by 7%. There's nothing shocking here, as parents got fed up with public schools. But homeschooling increases, don't forget the absolute numbers are still pretty low compared to traditional schools, but they total more than 50% increase. There's been a 50% increase in homeschooling just within the past school years. And so what we need to do is continue that. Our teachers' unions are showing us that they don't care about the children. They only care about the adults. And we are seeing, we have a battle on our hands right now, ladies and gentlemen, where even in Florida, where having pornographic material or material that is not appropriate for certain age groups. It's been banned from government schools in Florida. You cannot have it. However, we are fighting it daily. They are ignoring the law. Even in traditionally conservative panhandle areas like Escambia and Santa Rosa County, we are fighting daily to get that inappropriate material out of the libraries, out of our government schools, so that our children won't be affected by this nonsense, but they won't be sexualized, they won't be groomed, and we are fighting it each and every day. You might recall in Virginia how Governor Youngkin got elected because there was the other, I forgot his name, who was running against him, said that parents don't need to know what their children are being taught in schools. That sunk his race for being governor, and Youngkin was instead elected governor, I think, not only because of other things, but primarily because of that stupid comment. I can't even remember the guy's name now. It just shows how much of an impact he had on me. But here's an article that was written by iVoter Guide, and it says, what the Bible says about parental rights. And I think this is an excellent article. And there's a Dr. Jim Garlow addresses this issue in his book, Well-Versed, Biblical Answers to Today's Tough Issues. So here was a question that was asked to Dr. Jim Garlow. To whom does the child belong, the parents or the state, meaning government and government schools? And the school counselor responded, to parents. So Dr. Garlow asked this to a school counselor, to whom does the child belong? And this particular counselor responded, to parents. And most of us would agree with that. We say, well, of course they do. It's certainly not the school. But to this counselor's surprise, Dr. Garlow replied with, wrong. Children do not belong to parents or the state. Children belong to God. He made them, but he has entrusted them to parents. So as the one to whom God has given this child, I insist on remaining in the room if you, a complete stranger to me and my child, are going to have input into my child's thinking. I agree with that 100%, that if the parents who have been and who now God has entrusted them with this child, and they are raising this child in the fear and admonition of the Lord, if they are going to now give these children to someone else to teach them how to think, that is what should be happening in schools. It's not, though. If you're going to put them in these government-run schools, then you have the right to be there to know exactly what are they going to be teaching your children. And he goes on to say in this article, there are four truths about parental rights. Number one, truth number one, children belong to God. Psalms 127:3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. In order to define parental rights, we must understand that children ultimately belong to God. They are human beings created in his image. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. If you would like to join in on this discussion, feel free to call in at 904-831-0917. In this book written by Dr. Jim Garlow, he lists another truth. Truth number two, God has entrusted children to their parents. If children belong to God, to whom has he entrusted the sacred task of raising them. The command for children to honor their father and mother that we see in Exodus 20:12, the exhortation to listen to their father and mother's instruction, such as you'll see in Proverbs 6:20, and the charge to parents to teach their children and bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, as we see in Ephesians 6:4, are a few scriptures showing that parents are the ones charged with raising their children. The charge is not given to the government. Truth number three, parents are accountable to God for the way they raise the children entrusted to them. The fact that God has entrusted children to parents is not a license for abuse or neglect. The Bible is clear that we are accountable to God for everything entrusted to our care. How much more does this apply to the children entrusted to parents? In true cases of abuse or neglect, God has given the state authority to defend that child and punish those who do evil, as we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. However, it must not misuse that authority to punish good parents. That is evil itself. And then truth number four, parents have the right and responsibility to raise their children and direct their education. Because God has given children to parents, it follows that parents are the primary decision makers when it comes to their children's upbringing, including their education. While they may choose to contract with schools to facilitate their child's learning, they are ultimately responsible for the physical, intellectual, and spiritual growth of their child. Decisions about what, how, when, and where their child will be taught, as well as who will teach them, should be the parents' decisions to make. Amen. I agree with that wholeheartedly, 100%. And we must make sure that parents are having this right. And if they are not, then you are to take your children out of those government schools. Here's another interesting article. China removes Israel from online maps. Unbelievable. There's something evil about the Chinese Communist Party, which is running China right now. I'm not saying the Chinese people. There are many, many fine Chinese people. In fact, there's a huge underground Christian church in China. They have to remain underground because the Chinese Communist Party will not allow them to openly practice their religion and worship God in the way that they should be able to. The reason the Communist Party will not allow them to do this is because when you're a Christian and you recognize that the highest authority comes from God and not from the state, then that makes you not a docile peasant that is going to be ruled by the state, that you're going to stand up for your God-given rights. So they have to go underground. They cannot openly worship. But believe me, there is a huge Christian church in China. So when I say that there is evil in China, I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the Chinese Communist Party. And just to show you some of that evil, China removes Israel from online maps. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Internet users in China are expressing bewilderment that the name Israel doesn't appear on leading online digital maps from Baidu and Alibaba. There's an ambiguity that matches Beijing's vague diplomacy in the region and contrast with this attentiveness to maps generally. Baidu's, China's language online maps, demarcate the internationally recognized borders of Israel, as well as the Palestinian territories, plus key cities, but don't clearly identify the country by name. And the same is true with online maps produced by Alibaba's AMAP, where even small nations like Luxembourg are clearly marked. So here's the Chinese Communist Party removing the name Israel from the map. Now, this is from Fox News. China's strong relationship with Iran may be a reason for Israel's absence from the map, you think? China remains Iran's largest trading partner. See, that just shows you, Iran is an evil nation. I'm not saying the people. I'm saying those who are running that nation is evil. They are the sponsors of terrorism happening around the world. Why on earth would you want to legitimize a nation like Iran when their stated purpose is to sponsor terrorism, those around the world committing these terrorist attacks of killing innocent men, women, and children just to try and make a point, just to try and get their way, that they will use violence, murder, mayhem to get it done, and Iran sponsors that. And here's our goofy Joe Biden giving them billions of dollars, thinking that that is going to help them warm up to wanting to become allies or friends with America. That is never going to happen. In fact, the day that Biden gave them that, I think it was $6 billion, maybe it was $8 billion, but gave them billions of our dollars, taxpayers' money, that we work hard for to earn, the government then steals it from us and then gives it to these terrorist nations. And here they are, the day it was given to them, you see them in their gathering chanting, "Death to America, death to Israel." Now, what kind of nation, why on earth would you give them money? But he did. When Trump was in office, he froze that money because Obama initially gave it to them. He gave it to them in cash, billions of dollars on pallets, plane loads that were dropped off there. Trump froze the money. Now, here Biden is opening back up, releasing it. Here's China, who is Iran's largest trading partner. Makes sense. Two evil nations, Iran and China, the leadership running those nations are evil. Here they are trading with each other. China remains Iran's largest trading partner. And Iran is the prime source of funding for both Hamas and Hezbollah, terror groups devoted to the destruction of Israel. They're more than just the destruction of Israel. They want the destruction of civilization. They want to be able to kill anyone who does not bow the knee to the evil religion of Islam. They are following what their book, their guidebook, the Quran, tells them. Kill the infidels. Anyone who does not submit to worshiping the demon god of the crescent moon, Allah, then they are to be killed. And that is what Iran uses. They are the prime source of funding for both Hamas and Hezbollah, terror groups devoted to the destruction of Israel and anyone else who will not bow the knee to Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill. I'm sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. If you would like to join in on a discussion, call in at 904-831-0917. What do you think about these strikes that are going on, both with the United Auto Workers and also with the writers, the screenwriters out in Hollywood? Do they have a moral right to strike? And I say, no, they do not have a moral right to strike. In fact, unions would not even exist if it was not because of government protection, government coercion, allowing them to exist. Because people do not voluntarily give their dues to these unions. They are forced to in many ways. Here's an article from the Foundation of Economic Education, written by Leonard Reed, who explains there is no moral right to strike. The right to strike is a fundamental human right. That quote was attributed to someone on strike in a story about recently heightened labor unrest in America, including unionization campaign efforts to raise minimum wages and even a Hollywood writer strike. That claim seems to be broadly accepted, given how little opposition to that claim can be found in popular discussion. And that plays an important role in influencing public policies. If one starts from the belief that striking is an expression of one's legitimate human rights, then accepts the often repeated claims that workers are unfairly at the mercy of big bad business and exercising those rights, all sorts of public policies to support unions and strikes can seem reasonable. California is providing a good example as the writer strike has worn on. As reported by the Los Angeles Times, California lawmakers are resurrecting legislation that would allow workers on strike to collect unemployment benefits. Unbelievable. First of all, nobody's forcing you to strike. Nobody's holding a gun to your head and say, go on strike. So why should you be able to collect unemployment benefits? If you start from the perspective that unions wish people to hold, this law sounds like we're supporting workers, which many will think is noble. But if people instead saw these benefits as something that should be reserved for genuine unemployment, it starts to sound more like an abuse of California's state unemployment system, which is already over $20 billion in debt. Someone's support for the proposed legislation might waver as a result, but in our time, when people often desperately want to be seen as moral and or ethical by others who think such help is justified, they might remain in favor of such legislation. However, what if they realize that there is no moral right to strike? That might lead some to realize that the legislation in question actually supports immoral behavior. This is how Larry Reed puts it. The present laws of the United States recognize the right to strike. It is legal to strike. However, as in the case of many other legal actions, it is impossible to find moral sanction for strikes in any credible ethical or moral code. Quitting is not striking. And that is what they're doing. They're simply quitting. They're quitting work. And nobody is forcing you to do that. If you don't want to work there, then leave. Go somewhere else. And don't be so greedy to think that you have a right to the profits that are being earned by the companies who hired you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. Have a blessed day. Pray and keep looking to God for your answers.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now in